This is Songs to Discuss
with your daughter,
with Willa Krishnaswamy
and Ravi Krishnaswamy, a dad and daughter team.
Produced by Copilot Music and Sound.
Welcome back,
listeners.
Hey.
Hello.
Here we are. On an actual 2-week schedule.
Yes, we're back on our schedule. Sorry we were kind of inconsistent before. But we're back, so that's all that matters.
We are back. How are you doing, Willa?
I am good. How are you?
Good. Still working out some audio level kinks here with the new setup that I can't figure out. But good. Otherwise, yeah.
Speaking of setup, should we shout out all our producers in New York City that we got? We're just like so big. We got this big building, production team, giant studio. Sound worker, engineer, writer, co-producer, graphic designer, marketing, social media. We should shout out all those people, right?
Yes, to the entire team.
The crew, yes.
We haven't even met all of you. It's such a big team.
Here in the studio, right here, yeah.
It's very funny, Will. Yeah.
If you didn't get the joke, it's just me and my dad.
Yep.
All the work.
Yep.
He does the sound engineering and I do the outline and social media work.
You know, if we can increase our listenership and sponsorship, maybe we can bring somebody onto the team. So should we listen to our sponsor message now?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, sponsors.
Yes. And if you have a business and you want to get some more exposure, talk to us about a sponsored segment.
We would do that.
So what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about... Oh, wait. Speaking of scripted, this isn't a very scripted part. But, Dad, before we talk about that, we need to say thank you to everybody who listens, who subscribed, and who follows us at Songs to Discuss. But thank you for all those who are out there. But there can be more. Think of at least 3 people to send this to you.
Mm-hmm. It's spreading. I'm hearing about more people listening. Our numbers are going up. So
yeah, think of anybody you think who would like this.
And be the cool people who were listening to it before it got enormous.
Yes, where it's just in the mini studio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, think of someone to share this with, follow us, subscribe, tell people about it. Word of mouth is the best way, right, Dad?
Word of mouth is the best and only way.
Yes.
Advertising doesn't really work.
No.
Even though I worked in the industry for a long time. I mean, it works in some ways, but for this kind of stuff, you need people to talk about it.
Yeah. So, today... We are talking about, Dad, you want to say the song?
Oh My God by Adele.
Yes, by Adele from her new album.
Which is called 30.
Because she's 30 years old.
Should we listen to some of the song and then get into it?
No, let's hear an excerpt.
Okay. Here we go.
Break my walls, but I'm still speaking.
All right, what am I doing? Not Travis Scott. I don't know why that's playing. Let's move ahead.
To the bridge.
Is this too far? Where's the bridge?
It's coming up. This is the bridge.
So, it's a pretty awesome song.
It's a really good song, yeah.
You know, when Easy On Me came out, and she kind of came out of her hiatus, and it's like, oh, Adele's back. Like, I liked that song, but it was so, like, emotional that sometimes it would come on, and I'd just be like, I'm not really in the frame of mind where I can truly deal with this song right now.
What do you mean deal with Easy On Me?
You know, like I don't want to get that emotional.
Go easy. Yeah.
Great vocal performance. We could have easily talked about that one. But when I heard this song, I was like,
it's more intriguing.
Ah. So she hasn't had like a really upbeat song in a while. And this one's nice and upbeat and fun. And the production's really cool, the way that vocals are used. So, yeah. What do you think?
I think it's a good song. As you're saying, Adele was like on like a 6-year break and then she came back out and people are just like, "Oh my god, Adele's back."
What do we know about Adele? Or what do we need to know about Adele? She's British.
She's British. Yes.
British.
She's British. She lives in LA though. She lives in LA.
She just canceled at the very, very last minute her residency in Las Vegas.
I know. Oh, and we were hearing on the radio on KC101 that one of the guys was seeing her at the residency.
Oh, one of the DJs?
Yeah, one of the DJs.
Yeah. Apparently, people were like on the plane to Vegas when she canceled.
And well, why did she cancel?
Well, a number of people on their team got sick with COVID, and they just didn't feel like they were ready and able to put the show on.
I know, but it's Adele! You fly all the way to Vegas to see Adele, and then it doesn't happen.
You know, strange things are happening in the world of performing right now. Mm-hmm. The show must go on is a phrase that may be losing its relevancy right now. So, what else do we know about Adele?
I don't know that much about her.
Okay.
She went to college, I know.
Mm-hmm.
She got a performing arts degree.
Mm-hmm.
And she sold over 120 million records.
Oh, just 121 million?
Yeah.
Apparently she's being credited, too, with bringing back the CD, because so many people are buying CDs of her new album.
Yeah, okay. According to Wikipedia, Adele Laurie Blue Adkins, MBE, is an English singer and songwriter. She is one of the world's best-selling music artists with sales of over 120 million records. Crazy. So, like, I'll just sell 120 million records. It's no big deal.
People love her voice, and her voice is great, and it's always been presented very tastefully. She hasn't put out any records that felt like real, like, stylistic diversions. She's had a very, like, clear, straightforward, like pop R&B, not really R&B, really just pop. But
well,
with,
I guess you could say that because it's
pop rhythm. with like a hint of old school soul.
Yeah.
So, what are your questions about the song?
Well, my first one is a question that I didn't just make up for the podcast. It is a song question that has been on my mind for a while when I've been hearing the song, like, on the radio, in the car. And it just fascinates me, because it's always at the beginning of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the beginning of the song, listeners tune in, listen to this too. But listen to this, like, weird noise. I don't know what this is. It sounds like it's really high-pitched whistling. Like, what is it? And why does it sound kind of like a voice? Like, listen. This thing. It's at the beginning of the song, and I hear it every time, and I'm like, what is that? It's like a high-pitched, like, not even really whistling. It's just like...
It's
the timbre. Like,
it's
what?
Definitely... I think it's just kind of...
Here, can I play it one more time?
It's... Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it's old school sampler. And we were talking on our last episode about how the newer sampling applications can keep the tempo intact no matter how high or low you go. Mm-hmm. But this one, you can hear, it's one recorded phrase of audio.
What do you mean by audio?
Ba, ba. It's a vocal phrase. Mm-hmm. It's like a ooh. And then it's pitched like up and down. So we can play with this with the Koala app right now.
Sponsored by Koala.
Which is on the phone, which is plugged into this setup. So hopefully this will work. So go into Koala, okay? And
so wait, can you explain this again to our listeners about so what the actual sound is? Did you guys hear it? You know, the sound right at the beginning where it's like...
It's the same sound. It's like a vocal riff that's been put into a sampler and then just played up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So find a new pad in Koala. Koala is my favorite little phone or iPad-based sampler. It's so fun. Okay, and now just record in a ooh, something like that.
You do it.
No, you do it. I want your voice.
No, you do it.
Ooh.
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Pitch it really up. Pitch it really high.
Yeah, now try pitching it really high. Now pitch it low.
Ooh. That sounded too close.
See?
Oh, I kind of re-recorded it. Hang on, listen. Hang on, guys. And this is my dad's one.
It's a little too fast.
But I think I get it. Wait, do one more. Try.
Okay.
Do one more. Because this is really fascinating. So, Dad, I never thought that was actually a voice.
Really?
Sampled in and pitched. I thought it was like something on a pad in like the keyboard or something.
Okay, now I'll do it close to the phone. Ooh. Man, I hate my voice. Okay, now I'm going to... That's the sampler. I'm going to edit out the little breath at the beginning.
Okay. You sound so...
I'm going to...
Pitch it up.
Okay. I'm going to add some reverb to it. Okay. Oh, that didn't really work. Anyway, let me pitch it up.
Wait, can I do something?
And then... Okay, here, you can play with it.
So
that one works a little bit better.
I had no idea it was a voice. I thought it was like something on a pad or a keyboard that was being played or created digitally. But you literally put this into your voice and it just...
Yeah, no...
It just goes so much higher.
Now, the issue with using Koala for this example is that the pitching is just like a dial, so you just move the dial up and down, and you don't really have a lot of control over the increments of pitching, but normally with a sampler, it would just be mapped across the keys, and so you could basically have note value increments between the keys, and then you could just basically play the sample in different keys, but have it always be in the key of the song you're playing in.
What do you mean in a different key, but have it still be in a...
Well, like you could play the sample pitched an exact octave up or pitched a perfect fifth up. Right now, we're just moving this dial to get different pitches out of the Koala app.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So if we put it into the sampler in the computer and then played it with keys, we could play it more accurately like the song.
Wow. Thank you for that explanation.
Yeah.
Explanation, not exclamation. Thank you.
So it's that little riff was definitely part of like what I liked about the production.
You think? Yeah. The beginning always fascinates me, and it sounds like I'm just creating this, and I scripted this, and I'm like, I'm Willa, and this always fascinates me. But no, it did. Like seriously, I'm not like, I'm Willa, and this fascinates me. Like no, I'm not making it up. I was genuinely curious. And also, the reason why you give such good answers is because your job has been working in a studio and doing all this stuff for a living. So, round of applause to our...
Mm-hmm.
You're the questionee, I'm the questionnaire. So, thank you for...
You're welcome.
...answering questions very well.
But if you go back and play the intro,
mm-hmm.
like, what I really like about the production is...
Sorry, I thought you would play it.
No. Okay, play it now. Just play the intro. So under that riff, stop it.
Is like a synth pad.
It's not a synth pad. It's more voices.
No, it's voices. Her voice. It's like a hum. It's like,
Yeah, but played again, mapped to different keys, and played as like a pad.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a synth pad, but it's her voice.
But it's her voice, yeah. It's all like, this technology is not really new. It's just becoming more... like normalized to use voices that sound pitched and sampled in pop production than it used to be. Like it used to be that you would use the sampler very strategically, but you'd try to not make it sound like, you know, you'd always want anything coming out of the sampler to sound like natural, but it's really becoming more normalized to have these like pitched voices as part of the production.
Yeah. And if you remember, in Heat Waves, the song we just did, in the intro for his, this is so weird. In the intro for his song, it was like, "Hey, where's my freaking
Yeah.
Really like pitched way lower.
Yep.
Pitched way lower. And then in this intro, she's just pitched higher. That's a weird coincidence.
Yeah. So the big difference is in the technology used is that Heat Wave's been freaking me out, is always in time with the beat, whereas this goes really fast, and then it goes much slower when it's pitched down.
But that makes it feel kind of more like...
languid.
Organic.
Oh, yeah. Organic. Kind of. I guess.
Sort of. Not really.
Not really.
Not really.
But what I wanted to point out was just that the whole, almost the entire song is constructed out of her voice, other than the beats and a little bit of bass line.
Really?
Yeah. Almost everything else is her voice.
And Adele's got a pretty amazing voice.
Yeah. So it reminds me of, actually, of some of the more recent albums by Bon Iver. Justin Vernon, who's a producer, he's kind of like comes from the indie rock world, but he's gotten really into all sorts of vocal sampling and pads and processing as part of his like practice and his sound.
And he did a collab with Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm. And Kanye.
Kanye West?
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you go.
Well,
next question.
Okay, so in the pre-chorus, when she's singing, I know that it's wrong, it sounds like a really weird, funky, unstable rhythm when it's going with the background beat. Is it? Like, listen, it sounds really, like, funky and unstable, like, mm-hmm. with the notes. Like, I don't know if I can say eighth notes, because I don't know. But, like, compared to the verses. And it's like, here, let me play the pre-chorus. Okay, here's in the verse. And then, this is very steady.
One, two, three,
very steady
four.
With the beat.
Yep.
And with the vocals. Very steady with the vocals and beat. And then this pre-chorus, and the drums get faster. 16th notes, I think.
Yeah, because.
And the vocals don't really fully mesh well with the beat, and it's very like unstable. Rhythm-wise.
It's interesting. The question it raises is how much of the production was done when she sang to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna guess that a lot of it was done and she heard those drums, but it does sound like that, like the vocal that she sang there would work very well against that simpler boom, pop, boom, pop, boom, pop.
But do you feel like the instability and the,
yeah, because
the eighth note's kind of going like on off beats?
Because the main groove is just a really simple four on the floor backbeat, one, two, one, with the claps on the twos and fours, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. And then in the pre-chorus, it's like a, it's more of like a tribal house beat.
It's that, like, no.
Like it takes a little bit of its cues from Brazilian music and salsa, because it's got this clave rhythm in the kick drum, which goes boom, 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 boom. And that plays against some of the other stuff, which is a little harder to make out. There's definitely also some syncopation in the rest of the beat. I was kind of like going through my drum loops, just seeing if I could get something that sort of approximated that. And I was going through a library of like Brazilian influenced loops. This isn't exactly the same, because the kick drum is still keeping the four on the floor, but you can hear that clave going on with the rim shot and with some of the other shakers in the background. And I think that's what's happening. There's a little bit of a clave rhythm in the kick drum and some syncopation in the hand percussion. And it definitely takes you really out of that backbeat.
And then like the vocals are on like the off beats, and it's like very unstable.
Da, 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 da. Three. Yeah. Three. So, like, it's basically the first note happens on the vocal melody, the first note happens on the downbeat, but then the rest of the phrase kind of picks up on an upbeat. On
yeah.
Like a not on a strong beat. So it's got this whole, like, all of a sudden you get into this really
wobbly,
groovy section. It's like if you imagine her, she's like strutting very confidently down with the one, two, three, four, and then all of a sudden she like walks into like a
the pre-chorus,
the pre-chorus chorus. She like walks into this like salsa party and starts like dancing around and dancing around the beat. It's pretty cool.
She walks into the squid game.
Yeah, the squid. So does that answer your question about the rhythm?
Yes, it does, actually, because on the radio I thought I was like hearing something in my weird ears, like, mm-hmm. why is this so unstable and wobbly? It's like in the verses it was like very on the downbeats, very steady, and then in the beginning of the pre-chorus and I'm like, wait, what's happening? Am I just hearing this? So I'm glad we talked about the rhythm there.
Yeah, the other thing is this song is sort of part of this more very contemporary trend of songs that don't really have much harmonic movement. And I think we talked about this also last week with Heat Waves, that like, and we talked about this also recently with Ed Sheeran, songs that don't really change their chord structure at all between the verse and chorus. and basically all of the sort of dynamics and drama and contrast in the song happens with timbre and rhythm. So I think what makes the pre-chorus stand out is not only that it changes rhythm kind of drastically there, but that you notice it because the harmony is staying exactly the same. You're still just basically going between these two chords. The only time you go off those two chords is during the bridge, and I would argue you're not even really going off those two chords in the bridge.
Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, little tweaks like that rhythmic change can become really dramatic.
Yes, indeed.
I'm not sure. I wonder what purpose it serves in the storytelling of the song, because I like to think about these things conceptually.
Yeah, I know. I feel so bad because I'm always asking these, like, production questions, and we don't really get to talk about the lyrics that much.
So I had heard her talk about the writing of this song as being...
In an interview?
Yeah. As being sort of about this sense of finally being able to go out and date again and feel good again after, like, this big breakup that she went through. She went through a divorce, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she goes through this big divorce and she's kind of like,
Dad,
you know,
is it just me or do, like, celebrities always get divorces?
That's a good question. I think it's probably higher incidence of divorce among celebrities than among regular people, but... And I'm sure there's a lot of pressures and stresses on marriages that happen when you're, like, an international touring artist. So she goes through this divorce. She's kind of, like, mourning the end of the relationship and sad, and you hear that in Easy On Me. And then...
I think the one lyric that really spoke to me in Easy On Me, as they say, it spoke to me, is when she's like, I was still a child, I didn't get the chance to, whatever the rest is. I was like, at first I was thinking like, oh, you're still a child, is this referring to something that was in her childhood? But is she just thinking about when she was in the relationship, not divorced yet, she was sort of like, not very mature, or like just...
Yeah, she's talking about how she must have matured a lot and gained a lot of wisdom in the ending of the relationship. And so now she looks back on who she was at the beginning of the relationship and sees that person as being at a different stage in their life and like a child, you know, because you gain wisdom and that's what makes you an adult, and including, you know, in addition to all the physical changes that you go through.
Physical changes.
Puberty. So Easy On Me, she's kind of like, you know, thinking about this change and coming out of this relationship. And then, oh my God, is this like, hey, I can go out and feel good again. It's kind of like her No Tears Left to Cry.
Yes.
In some ways.
And, Dad.
Yeah.
I didn't bring her up this time.
I know. I kind of just, like, I feel like I need to proactively drop her into every episode so you don't forget. Yeah. So when we think about that pre-chorus and why it kind of gets into this salsa groove kind of feel, this clave, it's like maybe it's you know, the verse is her, like, sort of getting ready to go out and thinking like, okay, I think I can do this. I think I can go out again, maybe go out on a date. And then, like, the pre-chorus is like her on the date dancing in the salsa club.
Yeah.
And then the chorus is like feeling so great about pulling that band-aid of sadness off.
Yeah, can you imagine dating Adele? That's just like, I'm just going to go out on a date. Like, oh, can you imagine dating Adele?
No, I cannot. I haven't gone out on a date since 2001.
2001.
Yeah. So I cannot imagine dating Adele. But, you know, so the chorus is sort of like, I always talk about production establishing different places and spaces and times, and I'm thinking of this pre-chorus as being like this. We drop into her, like, actually being out and about and on a date or in a club or whatever, and then the verse, the chorus comes in after and reflects on how great it was to do that.
Yeah.
What do you think? How's that analysis?
Accurate? Well, actually, I don't know, because I'm not Adele.
Yeah, who knows?
I didn't write this song. But it's an accurate guess, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take that.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Questions?
Yeah, sorry. Awkward silence.
No, it's just I'm going to drink some coffee now.
Okay. Well, so I decided to do my questions, like, chronologically. So I started with a question about the beginning. Now I did the pre-chorus. Now my next question is about the chorus. And I guess it's more maybe it's not a question that could have, like, a straight-up answer, like... Whereas with the sampler, you could say, oh, this is a sampler. This might be one that is kind of abstract. But so after the chorus hits, the transition on the downbeat from the pre-chorus to the chorus is, like, super satisfying. I guess it's like we were in this, like, kind of wobbly, unstable salsa dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to this, like, the chorus, and it's, like, super satisfying. Like, why do you think it is like that? Do you think it was intentional? Do you think, like, how did they do that? So let me just play that transition one more time from the pre-chorus to the chorus. Pre-chorus. And it's just, like, so satisfying. And then you get to the chorus and you're right here. On the downbeat. And it's just, like, the four on the floor gets more steady. The four on the floor is back. It's more steady.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels like it's a good transition. But obviously, I'm not a songwriter, so I don't know why it's like that. I'm not a producer. I don't know why it's satisfying. I'm just a kid on the radio listening. Kid on the radio. No, I'm not on the radio. I'm just a kid listening to the radio wondering.
Well, because it's like, it directly fills in all the gaps that the verse establishes in terms of production.
Wait, lyrically or production?
Production-wise. I mean, also, it's a killer vocal hook. So you could, there's, like, lots of different ways to analyze this. On the one hand, you could say, if you grow up listening to Western popular music, you are just acculturated to anticipate and then draw pleasure from the chorus, whatever it is, as long as you can identify it as a chorus.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Another answer would be that it's a great vocal hook, and the vocal hook makes it the chorus, and that's why it's so great.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue also that, let's see.
Get close to the microphone so they can hear you.
Yeah, so what I would argue is that the production on the verses is super sparse.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like... Sorry. It's almost like those verses are asking a question. It's like they're creating these blanks to fill in your mind. Like, okay, where is this going to go? And then instead of directly going there, you go into the salsa club, but you still remember that you had these questions, like, where is this thing going to develop? And I think the insertion of the pre-chorus makes the chorus build, which involves basically filling in the beats and filling in some harmonies under the vocals and having a stronger lyrical hook, that much more satisfying because you didn't go there immediately. So it's like delayed gratification.
Yeah.
It's like you walk into the restaurant and you see this amazing dessert. And instead of just sitting down and eating it, you eat the meal and then you have the dessert. So
as you say, you have to drink the milk. And then
drink the milk?
No, you're always making me drink my milk.
Oh, before
you cut the mango.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you see the mango.
And I'm like, I need the mango.
But then you have to drink the milk before I will cut, and that's what makes the mango more satisfying. If the mango was always cut and there for you.
If the mango were.
You just eat it all the time and you wouldn't appreciate it. So the verse has this. But I'm still speaking. all the verse is this. This groovy little melody with just a four on the floor, boom, 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 and then just those pads of her voice going, you know, just those chords of her sampled voice.
Yep.
And then when we get to the chorus, we fill in with those big claps on the two fours. We add a bass line. And we add one more chord.
Yeah.
But I think probably the most important things are the claps on the twos and fours and the bass line, which, you know, in pop music, you expect the bass line and you expect some sort of snare drum or clap on the twos and fours, if it's a backbeat. So there you go. Big build with a nice little buffer to kind of make you anticipate it even more.
Yes.
Delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification.
It's just very simple and manipulative. You really, you know, if you went right from the verse to the chorus, it wouldn't be as nice.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
So.
So, on to question four.
Mm-hmm.
So in this question, I want to talk about the bridge. So, sorry. So in the bridge, it's mostly, I feel like I didn't even hear a beat. It's mostly just her voice. But I feel like it's, there are so many like different voices singing the same thing of like of what she's singing. Like it just has like an effect of there's like so many different like Adeles in the same room singing the same thing. So did she record herself and then make it sound like there's like a million different Adeles singing the same thing? So tell me if there's like anything about her voice in this. Oh, sorry, the bridge is here. Like, it sounds like the effect it has when I'm listening is it sounds like there's so many different, like, Adeles.
Can you play the whole bridge, please?
Yeah. This is the chorus. Okay, this is the bridge. Sounds like there's so many different it sounds like there's like just a ton of different Adeles singing the same thing.
Yeah, because there's basically three layers going on there. There's like this chorus of her doing like a pad of like three or four notes singing that Lord Don't Let Me Down. Said Lord Don't Let Me Down, and then there's the ad lib on top.
Yeah.
Which is the, where she's ad-libbing, Lord, don't let me down. And then there's like a higher layer where she's like,
don't let me down.
Yeah. No, there's a higher level layer even above that where she's doing some, just like some notes without lyrics. So it is very, very vocal heavy. It's really nicely done.
And it just sounds like there's so many different Adeles in the same room.
Yeah, as I said, they built the whole song out of her voice. It's incredible.
Yeah, especially in the bridge, it sounds like there's a lot of layers.
Yeah, there's at least, I count in my ears, 6 to 8 layers of her voice.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a lot.
She worked for it.
She did. So now, on to my last question. So this is an interesting song, a very interesting song, and a very well-done song, as we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been playing sparsely on pop radio.
Mm-hmm.
Sparse as in it's not, like, every second. But it's been playing on pop radio. But it doesn't sound like it's kind of, like, it sounds genuinely Adele. Like, it doesn't sound like it's trying to follow any trends or sound like anything, mm-hmm. sound like anybody. And so, what genre do you think it would fall into?
It's pop. I mean, it's pop with, that's soul influenced and... by soul, yeah.
Okay.
And mostly the soul is in her vocal delivery. Mm-hmm. The arrangement beyond her vocal delivery is very simple and could support a lot of different kinds of styles of singing.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that is it for this episode.
So, are we going to announce our next song, or are we going to keep it a surprise this time?
We're actually going to do something we've never done before. We're going to keep it a surprise. So, you're going to have to tune in next time.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.